And now I will be reading. We're going to be continuing on with in John, and I'll be reading John 15:1-17, and then on to John 16:5-7. And this is in the Pew Bible as well as up on the screen. So your choice. So let's begin. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me, and I in them, bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. But now I'm going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Amen. Now Pastor Laura will come and give us the message.
Thank you, Bernadette. I just arrived back this past Tuesday after being away for 2 weeks. I was able to attend a leadership conference in London, and then with my two daughters, we went to Bruges in Belgium. When we arrived in Bruges, our accommodation got mixed up. We didn't have any. So we had a bit of a scramble trying to find a place to stay because, as we discovered, there was a special festival that was happening that weekend. Fortunately, we did find somewhere to stay. Each year in Bruges, on the day of Ascension, they have a procession through the town called the Procession of the Holy Blood. People come from all over for this event. The stores are closed, and probably about 3,000 people from the town participate in this procession. The main purpose of this is to process a relic of a flask that contains a cloth with the blood of Jesus. According to tradition, Joseph of Arimathea caught the blood of Jesus in a cup. And now, in a small, elongated rock crystal flask, is a piece of textile with the blood of Christ. The flask came to Bruges in the 11th century. And in the procession, there's music, and they present all these biblical themes from the Old and the New Testament, and then bring out this relic. It was great to be able to watch all these different scenes and then, listen to this music. And I have a few pictures to show you. The procession lasted a couple of hours, so this is just a small taste. It began with Adam and Eve. There was Abraham and Moses. And then here you see there's had some camels. There was also a whole flock of sheep that went through at one point. Then the next slide. This is Joseph during his time in Egypt. This is Mary and Joseph. And the baby was real. It was quite chilly, and I was worried about that poor little child. This is then Palm Sunday, Jesus riding in on a donkey. That was such fun to see. And then there were other scenes denoting the crucifixion and then the resurrection. And then near the end, the relic came through. The vial of blood is stored in this shrine. And when this relic of the blood of Jesus passed, everyone just automatically stood. And as I watched this go by, I was struck with the reality that Christ is not at a distance to be observed. He is in my heart. If that was the blood of Christ or not, it doesn't matter. Christ dwells in me. He's not a part, someone just to look upon. We can experience him in our lives. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus said this. This is from John 6. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. We live in a world that tends to remain detached from God, observing him from a distance. But in this passage here in John chapter 15, Jesus is telling us that is not the way for us to live. To have life, we are to abide in Christ, to have his life blood flowing through our veins. One commentator outlined this chapter in regards to relationships. In verse 1 to 11, we can see with Christ, there is a relationship of abiding or remaining. In verse 12 to 17, with fellow believers, there is a relationship of love. In verses 18 to 25, with the world, there's a relationship of hostility. And in verses 26 to 27, with the Spirit, there is a relationship of power and co-witness. Abiding, love, hostility, and the Spirit. These are the four things that I want to highlight this morning as we consider God's Word. Before we go any further, we pray with me. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take these words, these things that I have put together, that you would fill them. Lord, I pray that this would not just be another sermon, but this would be a time when we truly open our hearts to you. That Holy Spirit, you would fill us, that you would change us, that you would transform us, that we would daily walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. In verse 5, Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Or some translations say, abide in me, and I will abide in you. For us to live a genuine spiritual life, we have to remain intimately attached to Christ. The word remain or abide is a key word in John's theology. It occurs 11 times in this chapter, 40 times in the entire gospel, and 27 times in John's epistles. So what does it mean to abide or to remain? Well, it means first to accept Jesus as Savior. Second, it means to continue or to persevere in believing. And third, it means loving obedience. We have in this chapter the last of the seven great I am statements of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is again here taking an image that was common to the people of that time. He did this with the image of the good shepherd, using an image to help the people understand who he is and the relationship that he wanted to have with them and what he wants to have with us. Jesus and the disciples have probably turned off on the road and then into one of the temple courts. And here they come face to face with one of the most beautiful and powerful symbols of Israel, that of vine and grapes. The vine was Israel's image of herself. Affixed to the temple was a large vine that was made out of gold. And Jesus then turns to his disciples and says, "I am the true vine." Being attached to the temple, or for us, being attached to a church, is not enough. We must be connected to the true vine. He is the only one who is the way, the truth, and the life. A vine that's cut off from the source, well, it withers and dies. The same is true with us. We are lifeless, straining to see something, feel something that we think is beyond us. And so Jesus reminds us to find our source of life in him. To grow in Christ means to be utterly dependent on him, abiding. It's not just a matter of acknowledging who Jesus is, standing and giving homage as his blood goes by. It's having Jesus personally connected to our inner lives. Abiding or remaining involves practicing the discipline of walking consciously with Jesus every day, throughout the day. It involves reading God's word. And Jesus makes this connection in verse 7 where he says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you." Abiding and remaining also implies obedience. Verse 10 says, "When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love." It's a relationship characterized by love, following his commands. And prayer is also how we connect to the vine. A continual connection, communication with him. We remain connected to the vine as we consciously walk with him, through reading his word, following what he tells us, and talking with him. The second thing that I want to highlight is love. In verse 12, Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And in verse 17, he says it again. "This is my command, love one another." Note that this unit is framed by these two statements of a command to love. Back in chapter 13, we read of Jesus telling his followers to love one another. He said in chapter 13, verse 34, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." And in 1 John 4:11 to 12, we read, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." The byproduct of our life when we remain in Christ is love. At the royal wedding yesterday, if you watched it, the message from Bishop Michael Curry was on the power of love. An important message for people to hear. He quoted Dr. Martin Luther King saying, "We must discover the power of love, the redemptive power of love. And when we discover that, we will be able to make of this old world a new world. Love is the only way." Loving God and loving our neighbors is what Jesus commands. There is power in love. I appreciated the statement that he said, "When we discover the redemptive power of love, we will make of this old world a new world." We need this love because what do we see in this world? As chapter 15 goes on, Jesus talks about persecution and hostility in the world. The leadership conference that I was able to attend in London was great. And the theme of the conference was reconciliation. And there were some incredible speakers with such powerful stories. One of them was Brian Stevenson. He's a lawyer, you'd like that, Peter, in the States, fighting poverty and challenging racial discrimination in the justice system. It's so disheartening to see that we still have racial inequality. And he made the statement that racial inequality in the U.S. has left a kind of smog. Quite the statement. Another one of the speakers was Immaculée Ilibagiza. And she lived through the Rwandan genocide, where 1 million people were killed in 3 months. She had been hidden in a bathroom 3 by 4 feet with 7 other women. Such hatred to kill all these people. And she commented how hatred becomes a sickness and shared about her anger and her hatred as she was there in that bathroom, this response. But then how through prayer and reading God's word, she was able to release that anger and come to a place of forgiveness. This hatred is not something that we can just kind of look back on as, okay, well, that was back there. Immaculée notes this. The world has seen the same thing happen many times before. After it happened in Nazi Germany, all the big powerful countries swore, never again. But here we were, harmless females huddled in darkness, marked for execution because we were born Tutsi. How had history managed to repeat itself? How had this evil managed to surface once again? This hatred is something we continue to face. This past week, I saw a video that was posted of a man chastising an employee at a fast food restaurant in Manhattan because the employee was speaking Spanish to one of the customers. And this man was irate for not speaking English, saying, my next call is going to be to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to have each one of them kicked out of my country. Yesterday, the Quebec-New York border, there was a protest. There was another shooting we saw at a school this week and killing along the Gaza border on Monday. What is the answer to all this hatred, anger, and animosity? Love. In Christ, we can discover the redemptive power of love. This love, however, is just not achieved in isolation. It's an outgrowth of us abiding in Christ. The result of the Spirit working in and through us. As we've considered this text this morning, we've looked at abiding, at love, at hostility. And now I want to conclude with the Spirit. It's only as we abide in Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us that He fills us with love. Jesus' command for us to love is followed by the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. You may not have the human ability to love all those whom God loves. There may be people in your family or in your community whose words or whose actions have hurt you. You may find it difficult, if not impossible, to forgive. But through the Holy Spirit, it is possible. As we abide in Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to permeate our lives, He gives us the grace to love and forgive others. He's able to lift the burden of your pain, to heal those wounds of betrayal, to calm the fears of your frustrations, to be able to love people through you. Jesus encouraged the disciples, informing them of this wonderful new relationship with Him, which would be theirs through the agency of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, God's Spirit came to dwell with His people through the Holy Spirit. God's presence is not in a physical temple. It's not out there, not in some crystal flask, but with His people. The Spirit has come to live in us. And as we participate in a relationship of love with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a transformed, fruit-bearing life will result. Galatians 5:22-23 tells us the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To be connected to the vine means that the life of Jesus is flowing through us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the result of this is bearing fruit. Fruitfulness is the result of us being connected with Jesus. I appreciated Gary Berg's description of our abiding life in Christ. He says, Christianity is not simply about believing the right things, though this is important, nor is it simply a matter of a Christ-like life, though this is important too. Christian experience must necessarily have a mystical, spiritual, non-quantifiable dimension. To be a disciple means having the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in us. It's not out there, beyond us. It's having a supernatural interior experience that is completely unlike anything in the world. It's a way of believing and living, but these are nurtured by the life-giving connection that we have with Jesus. How is the vine nourished? It receives water and nutrients from being attached to the vine. There is a fun little app that you can get for your phone called a Plant Nanny. My girls are totally into this. It gives you these reminders to drink enough water throughout the day. And as you drink a glass of water, then you're supposed to water your plant and you watch it grow. If you don't do it, well, the plant dies. It's kind of a fun visual reminder. Maybe we need that kind of reminder for us spiritually. Because when we do not abide in Christ, constantly being nourished by Him, we shrivel up and die. We don't produce fruit. Life is empty, dead, useless. The only way that you and I will impact our world is by abiding in Jesus, staying connected to Him every day. As we remain in Him, that fruitfulness results. Jesus' blood running through our veins, producing love. Listen to this beautiful prayer that is used daily by the Sisters of Mother Teresa. And I close with this. Dear Jesus, help me to spread your fragrance wherever I go. Flood my soul with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess my whole being so utterly that my life may not only be a radiance of yours. Shine through me and be in me. Be so in me that every soul I come in contact with may feel your presence in my soul. Let them look up and see no longer me, but only Jesus. Stay with me, and then I will begin to shine as you shine. So to shine is to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be mine. It will be you shining on others through me. Let me thus praise you in the way which you love best, by shining on those around me. Let me preach you without preaching, not by words, but by example. By the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what I do, the evident fullness of the love of my heart bears to you. Amen. Why don't we pray together? Well, Lord, I just come and begin and ask for forgiveness for the times of that I don't remain and abide in you. It's not walking constantly with you throughout the day, but looking to other things. And Lord Jesus, thank you for sending your Spirit, that we are not left alone to just make our way through the world, that we do not have to live our lives apart from you. Lord, this day, we pray for more of your Spirit in our lives, producing more love, more joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, help us to follow you in how we live, that we may bring love and light to a world that is at odds with your word, but nevertheless so in need of it. May we open ourselves to the fullness of your Spirit. And Lord, may we pray with St. Augustine, breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. May we never cease to be amazed at your works, and may we always remember that you are with us. We thank you, Jesus. In your loving, powerful name, amen. Keep alert, stand firm in your faith. Be courageous, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.